जी कहाँ जाओगे? बेलापुर, नामपुर, फतेहगढ़, रामगढ़, कहाँ जाना है बोलो? अरे क्या कभी तांगा नहीं देखा पहले? ये गांव खेड़ा है साहब, यहाँ मोटर गाड़ी नहीं मिलेगी कि बैठे और गर्र से चल दिए। यहाँ तो बसंती का तांगा ही चलता है। देखो मुझे बेफिजुल बात करने की आदत तो है नहीं, चलना है तो बोलो चलना है।
अरे भाई हमको तो चलना
नहीं, चलना है तो ठीक है, कोई बात नहीं। अब बसंती से कोई दुश्मनी तो नहीं हो जाएगी? तुम बाहर निकले तो मैंने सोचा कि तांगा करोगे तो पूछ लिया, अब कोई जबरदस्ती का सौदा तो है नहीं। बैठे बैठे नहीं बैठे नहीं बैठे। अरे ये तो बसंती का तांगा है, किसी जमींदार की बेकारी थोड़ी है कि मर्जी न मर्जी करना ही पड़े। तो आज तो वही मिसाल हो गई कि
हाँ चलिए, चलना है चलना है चलना है यार।
हाँ हाँ तो आ जाओ, मैंने कब मना किया? देखो मुझे बेफिजुल की बात करने की आदत तो है नहीं, इसलिए पहले ही से बोल देना अच्छा है। बेलापुर का 2 रुपया और रामगढ़ का 1.5 रुपया, इसमें झिकझिक मत करना। बसंती जो बोल गए सो बोल गए। हाँ
तो ठीक है हम तो
हाँ समझ गई। तो यही पूछोगे ना कि बसंती बेलापुर का 2 और रामगढ़ का 1.5 क्यों? तो पूछो कि तांगा किस गांव का है, पूछो पूछो।
किस गांव का है जी?
रामगढ़ का है।
अच्छा तो रामगढ़ का है।
What is up, everyone? Welcome back to the Wretched Movie Podcast, the podcast where everything is connected. I'm your host, Jacob Thompson, and joining me is my co-host, friend, and the person most likely to pop a sick wheelie in order to impress the ladies, Alex Perkins. Perk, how are you doing tonight?
I'm well, thanks. It never works out. I always fall down.
Or you always fall backwards on your back?
Or end up pedaling backwards while sitting on the handlebar. You know, it always goes awry.
Of course. Well, what about your, how's your sidecar game? If you're like a motorcycle sidecar, can you do any stunts in there?
Yeah, I can actually split off from the sidecar and then reel it back in.
Wow, and just reconnect it. That's pretty impressive.
While at the same time sitting on my homie's shoulders.
And playing the harmonica?
Yes.
Welcome back to the show, everyone. This is the podcast where every week Perk and I review a movie that is connected to the last one we watched. If you like our show, you can follow us on podcast services and YouTube. We post pretty much every Friday. We try to. And come watch some movies with us. Last week, we watched a movie Like Stars on Earth. And in that movie, they referenced the popular Bollywood actor Abhishek Bachchan. And the movie we watched this week is his father, stars his father, Amitabh Bachchan. And it is Sholay. Perk, why don't you enjoy it for us?
Yeah, all right. Sholay is a 1975 joint directed by Ramesh Sippy, starring Sanjeev Kumar, Dharmendra, Amitabh Bachchan, and Amjad Khan. And it is pretty much an Indian Western, and also a buddy comedy, and also a romantic drama.
And also a musical.
And also a musical, how could I? a couple fun facts for you. Amjad Khan was actually almost replaced in the role of Gabbar, the antagonist, because the director didn't think his voice was right for the character. It's a good thing they didn't make that switch. And then also the scene where Thakur's family dies is an homage to Sergio Leone.
Very nice.
Yeah, the Western influence is very obvious.
Yeah, extremely. But it's a fun time. Perk, why don't you go first? What did you think of Sholay?
It's
a 3-hour and 15-minute epic.
So long. It's so long. I mentioned it earlier. It's pretty much a mini series, honestly. This movie I think is really good. It has some stuff that I think is great and some stuff that I think is maybe the worst I've ever seen in a movie.
Really? Okay.
Yes. In particular, pacing has absolutely no pacing. The pacing is just drop dead terrible. And then along with that, hand in hand, the tone is unhinged from one scene to the next. It is just total incongruity. Those are my two big sticking points. It's so long. It has no idea where it's going most of the time. It meanders like crazy. And we could be laughing and crying and then in the middle of an action scene within 12 seconds. Or We could go to like a bunker, like when they blow up the bunker and he gets winged, and then instantly they're just back in another romantic scene. But yeah, I mean, that's all I really have for gripes is the structure of the film is terrible.
Sure. Yeah, I had a great time in this movie. This was really fun. Yeah, it's all over the place in that, like you said, you'll be in the middle of, or you'll complete like a pretty intense action scene. You think the next step is going to be, all right, we got to track these guys down or make some move. No, we're going to take some time for the romantic drama part for a solid 30 minutes. But like I had fun with both things. Like, I had fun with the action and I had fun with the romance stuff. I think it's mostly funny and goofy and yeah, it was enjoyable. And I actually disagree on the tone thing because I kind of like, it's kind of like Three Idiots. We're like, we're having a great time in that movie. And then all of a sudden, boom, it gets really serious. And you're like, oh shit, like stuff's going down. It's not done as well as Three Idiots. But
I would say
I appreciate some of the brutal decisions they made. I was like, holy shit. I didn't expect one of the two main characters to die by the end of this movie. I would have not have called that. And I also, if you told me that one of them was going to die, would not have picked Jai. I would have picked Veru 100%. So I'm like, okay, I'm surprised they actually killed one of the main characters.
I agree that having a juxtaposition of like a happy scene, like holy dancing, cut to immediately like a raid and an action scene, that's good. But when it goes in the opposite direction, it kind of stinks. Like when they go from like a high octane horseback chase to like, oh, now we're, you know, gaslighting, what is it?
Basanti.
into loving me again.
I'll give you that. I agree. I think because I really loved when we had the musical number with the Festival of Colors.
Oh yeah, that was like my favorite set piece in the movie.
It was awesome, and then it goes immediately into where it's like, holy shit, like this stuff's going down, and that's like awesome. But yeah, I agree. When we finish like at a really tense agency, and then it's like, yeah, it's very like at the temple pretending to be God or whatever. It's like, don't you guys have like other issues you have to deal with? Like, I feel like you don't have time for this right now.
Like, should we be prepping or something? Nah.
You're like, they get some moves. Yeah. So, but yeah, overall, like, it's very much a Western, and you know, I'm a sucker for, you know, the outsiders that come into the town and then come to love the town and want to protect it and stuff. And I thought also the action was like really solid.
Yeah.
Like when Veer was just beating ass at the end, I'm like, let's go, dude. And then Tucker shows up with his like cleats on and he's just like, I'm going to kick the shit out of you. I'm like, do it, man.
Yeah.
So, like, I loved all that stuff.
I thought that the kick fight was like super like bad and goofy, but in like the best way.
Yeah. It's just like super anime.
Yeah. It was awesome. No, I agree with you. I think the action in this film is outstanding. The set piece horseback chases, the fight scenes, the stunt work. There is so much stunt work in this movie. Like every time someone dies from a gunshot, it's not just like a gunshot. It's like they then have to do a front flip off of a horse.
Or they have to throw themselves off of like a horse or a motorcycle or something.
Like jump off of a rock face through a house ceiling. Like the stunt work is absolutely incredible.
Yeah. Well, and speaking of that, we mentioned it briefly before we started recording, but when we watched Bahubali, they made it very clear in that movie, no animals were harmed, all right? Anytime an animal's getting hurt, there's a little thing telling you on the screen, like, don't worry, it's a CG animal. I wonder if that came about because of this movie, because Jesus Christ, I felt so bad for the horses in this film. Like, they were just getting run, like, headfirst into the ground. Like, it was, like, hard to watch at moments.
Yeah, there appeared to be a lot of horses not having a good time. I hope that's not the case, but there were some scenes where it's like the horse just, you know, eats it face first into the ground, and
it adds to the realism, I guess, but like I don't need animals to get hurt to enjoy a movie, you know. There's other ways to do that, but yeah, besides that, I thought I agree, like, all the choreography was just awesome, and it was funny though, of just like, especially in like the final shootout over the bridge when like Jai's like picking people off and a dude just at the very top of the cliff has to stop, stand up, go, oh, like, it's so, like, it's, I appreciate how clear it is when somebody gets hit because they have to throw themselves out, and it's just, it's awesome.
And to go along with like the fight choreography and the stunts, I think the dance scenes and the musical numbers are also really good.
They're so fun.
the holy scene, but I think I'll make an aside later, but I think the dancing is really strong and the music is really good, even though
yeah, it's really good.
I feel like this movie super didn't have to be a musical and you could cut like 40 minutes down by just pulling out all the music numbers. It definitely does add to the character of the movie.
Yeah, I mean, I loved the first one with the two of them on the motorcycle and the sidecar and it like detaching and coming back and them just like, then they like, I dude, like I fucking died when they see that girl. They both like try to stand up to like see who's going to talk to her. And they flip the coin and it just lands on the side. And it's so stupid, but I'm like, this is amazing. Like, I just love this goofiness. And that continued into a lot of the scenes later on. And I just really appreciated that. And a great, great bromance, you know?
Oh, like, yeah.
Really solid bromance.
Definitely fantastic bromance. The two leads had great chemistry. Since you brought up the coin, let's talk about the twists. Because I saw both coming.
I can't believe I didn't see the double-sided coin coming, but I loved it when it happened.
Yeah, so I saw the double-sided coin coming the first time they flipped it, when it was like, should we save the cat, like the inspector, or should we get out of here? I was like, oh, it's probably a double-headed coin, isn't it?
Mm.
But I love it. It works so well. It's such a good thing, and I knew it was coming in the end when he flipped heads and said, oh, I gotta stay, and I love the way that they use that.
Yeah.
Also, the no arms thing was,
dude, was incredible. Also
pretty obvious, and what a great reveal.
Well, so I didn't notice it. So like they're in the shootout, and like Vera looks over, and he's like, "Give me the gun," and he just stands there. I'm like, I'm with Vera. I'm like, "What the fuck is this dude's problem?" And then they finish the fight or whatever, and Vera goes over, like, "What the hell, man?" And then Tucker's like, "Don't you want to know?" I'm like, "Wait a second. Does this dude have no arms?" And sure as shit, we get through this flashback, and this dude's got no arms. I'm like, "Let's go."
As a freedom that you can take when your movie is 3 hours and 15 minutes long, at that point, Tucker says, "It's a long story," and I was like, "Oh, but you're gonna tell us though, aren't you?"
Oh yeah, it's flashback time, baby.
It's a long story, but we're gonna get it. Yeah, it was so great, and yeah, the reveal. It's not supposed to be funny, but the dude standing there with just his arms behind his back.
I know, it's like you can so clearly tell there's at his side, and they're like trying to put like padding on, but it just doesn't look great, and it's just, oh my god, it's
so
great.
It works so well. Maybe not for the reason they want it to, but it really does.
But then, I just love it, though, because, yeah, the kick fight at the end is hype.
Yeah, like, it is.
Because he's got the cleats on, and you're like, dude, he's going to beat some ass right now. Like, he's headbutting him and shit. Like, I freaking love that, man.
All
right,
but since we've brought up the cleat fight at the end, one thing that I would appreciate out of a 3 hour and 15 minute movie is if you didn't botch the ending, and I think the ending sucked.
Which part of the ending do you not like?
All of it. Jai dying. Like, damn, okay, this romance that was set up for hours and hours is just not gonna happen. And
I kinda like it, man. I kinda like the brutality, because if I can transition a little bit and we can come back to the ending, but like there are so many moments I'm like, oh shit. Like when we're in Takura's flashback before we find out he gets arms chopped off, like Gabber killed his entire fucking family, including his grandson. I was like, holy, like, I thought maybe he was gonna like kidnap the grandson or have him try to convert him to his side. It's like, no, the grandson's dead, like straight up. And I appreciate they didn't like show a kid like getting killed twice. They kind of cut away, because you don't have to, right? You see the blanket over the body and stuff. I was like, that was like way more brutal than I thought was gonna happen. When they capture Basanti and they're forcing her to dance, I'm like, okay, whatever, this is like kind of long, but maybe she's gonna like try to sneak over and free Veru, or she's buying time. But then they put the broken glass on the ground.
Yeah,
and
that was,
I'm like,
bit.
Holy fuck, like, okay, like, and then yeah, then Jai dying, I'm like, man, didn't see that coming. Like, I thought for sure these two guys were gonna both have happy endings with each of their respective love interests and live in the village ever after. And it's like, no, I appreciate, like, no, they killed Jai, and Veru's super depressed, he's like, I'm out of here, man, I'm leaving. And then Basanti goes with that part, I'm like, whatever. But I don't know. I just, it feels more real.
No, I get it. I don't know about real. It definitely feels like a Western, because, you know, Westerns don't have happy endings.
Sure.
Which I kind of, like, if you're going to adapt everything but one part, maybe don't pull that part over. Give us just the, you know, goofy right off the sunset happy ending. I don't know. But that's not... Try dying, because the scene worked really well. Yeah. And all of the narrative leading up to it was great. So I'm not really that upset about that. What I am upset about is Gabar not dying. We just wasted so much time learning how bad this dude is. Yeah. Watching him break out of prison multiple times.
It's so easy to break out of prison, apparently, in this time period. The law will
handle this. No, it won't. He'll be back out.
We've seen you can't.
we just watched 3 hours. Are you going to need to come up with a 3-hour sequel so that we can see what happens when he breaks out in 2 weeks?
Yeah, I agree with that.
That was one of the coolest things about Bahubali is it's this 5.5-hour epic tale that ends with the bad guy getting strapped to a funeral pyre and getting his head chopped off.
Yeah. Yeah.
And it's great. And it's so cathartic. And in this one, it's like, but Inspector, you know, I know it says dead or alive, but you used to be in... Come on.
Okay,
kill him.
How hard of a line, though, when Takur is like... Because the cops show up and like, Justice needs him. And he's like, Justice sees him dead or alive. And he's like, so I'm going to fucking kill his ass. And then they don't. But yeah, no, I agree. I think Gabar should have died. But yeah, besides that, I liked the decisions that were made for the most part. What did you think of Basanti? Because I tell you what, I got a soft spot for the characters. Like, I don't like to talk unnecessarily. I'm not a chatterbox and then just is talking constantly. For some reason, it never got annoying to me. I thought she was hilarious, like, the whole movie.
It was definitely annoying for me for the first, probably third of the time she's in the movie. I got over it when it became less of that is just the only bit. You know, when she's actually more of a character. Because the first few scenes she's in, it's literally just motor mouth chatterbox. That's her whole character.
Yeah.
But, you know, once she builds a little more into the movie and you see her interact with other townspeople and her relationship with, what's the horse? Donna?
I'm blanking, but yeah, I know.
Yeah. Her relationship with the horse. I thought she was great. I thought the actor did a great job. And I was worried I was going to be annoyed with her for the whole movie, but I was only annoyed for the first couple scenes.
Yeah, well, I was also surprised that she was, like, a main character. I thought she was going to be just, like, this comedic bit horse girl taking him to town and then she's going to be gone. But, like, no, she was, like, a main character, and, yeah, I liked her quite a bit. Don't love how she was forced into marrying Viru, but, you know, so it is what it is, and it's fine.
That scene, the hard cut to him on the water tower is great. I knew it was coming, but it was great. The scene went on a little too long, and the fact that it ended up with... her getting blackmailed into marrying him, kind of goofy, but their whole couple dynamic is just kind of hilarious for the whole movie.
Yeah, and I love Jai always coming in and be like, hey, look what's going on, you know? Yeah. And one of my favorite jokes in this movie is when they're on the ride into town with her and she's like talking, she's like, you guys haven't even asked me my name. And Jai goes, what's your name, Basanti? Absolutely killed me, man. Like, yeah, there's such good comedy in this movie and great action. And I loved it. I don't know if I'll ever watch it again just because of the length, but I'm really happy that we did it because it was a great time.
Definitely. And you're right. There's great action. There's great comedy. And there's great romantic tension. Never any of them at the same time, though.
Yeah, they're very clearly segmented. Yeah.
I have anything else here.
You watch on Amazon, I watch on YouTube. For you, when you were watching Amazon, were the songs, did the songs have captions for you?
They did.
Okay, because I didn't get captions for the songs. Whenever a song started, the subtitles went away. So I was like, I feel like I'm missing out on a lot of story. And that was very unfortunate.
So in traditional fashion, this happens with, it's happened with every Indian movie we've watched where the song is really good and the music is awesome. And the translated lyrics are just so straight to the point.
Yeah, they're just telling you exactly what's happening.
They're best friends. They're going to live together. They're going to die together. They're the best of friends. It's like, I'm sure it's more eloquent in the native tongue, but it's always so fun to me.
Yeah. Another weird thing, yeah, which I don't know if, again, for you on Amazon, but like, so when I read to the movie on YouTube, it's like 1975, Sholay, I'm like, great. But like, based on the opening credits, it was very, this is very clearly a re-release where they added 3D. I don't know if that was also in yours.
Yeah.
Because there was like 3D artists in the opening credits.
Is that what happened?
Yeah.
Because I noticed a few moments where it was clear that there was
like post-production,
like animation that was supposed to be coming out of the screen. I thought that was like really kind of cool. And I was like, was this happening in 1975?
No, because also in the opening, it was like in memory of, director, there's a lot of sippies involved in this movie. So like some of the sippies already passed away. I'm like, okay, what? Like that wouldn't make sense in the movie. So I think this was a re-release at some point later where they added the 3D stuff and probably put it back in theaters. Because, yeah, especially when, like, in the train sequence, which is also awesome, when Takur shoots their handcuffs off, it's, like, it's at the camera, and then, like, it comes out of the screen. I'm like, okay. And it wasn't ever egregious, and I didn't really mind it. But it was just funny that that's what it was.
Another little scene I just wanted to chat about with you.
Mm-hmm.
The whole story with Ahmed, the kid.
I can't believe they killed him too.
I can. I saw it coming. It was hilarious. It was so funny. Yeah, it was so funny, dude.
Like, I did not laugh.
The whole thing is his dad's trying to get him to leave town, and the man makes it 11 feet outside the city and gets clapped. That shit was hilarious.
I thought like he was going to get like kidnapped in like a hostage situation.
I thought so, like, too. And then when he just showed up dead, I was having a laugh.
I was shocked. I was absolutely shocked by that. But yeah, it's like, and that comes back to like the, when we stop the movie and take 30 minutes to do a funny romance scene, it's like, you guys, there is an impending threat on this town. Like, send out a guy with Ahmed.
They're literally sitting right out there.
Like, give him, like, you know where the bandits are. Like, why you let this kid go alone to the station? So yeah, that was odd.
Like, the bandits were on their horses, were probably visible from the city. Like, if someone just, if someone other than his blind father just walked him to the gate,
it
would have been like, that was, maybe don't go that way.
Well, and then they bring him back, and his dad's like, because they have that talk about, like, are we going to stand up and fight, or are we going to kind of just roll over? And his dad goes, I wish God gave me more sons to sacrifice for this cause. I was like, Jesus Christ, man.
Yeah, man was a little out of pocket. He's saying, I have to carry my dead son. You all should, too.
Yeah. And I get, like, don't negotiate with terrorists, and also, but it was like, my God. And the townspeople don't even do anything. Like, they show up at the end as, like, backup, but they don't actually, like, fight or anything. But that's okay, because we got the beat down by
the shootdown.
Yeah. But yeah, great time in this movie. Do you have any recommendations? I mean, it's westerns, I guess.
Old westerns, yeah.
Yeah.
I haven't seen many, but that's the vibe I got out of this for sure. Old westerns, there will be a lot less singing.
Yes.
A lot less
comedy.
But
not none. In Gunfight at the OK Corral, they have little musical interludes in between scenes where they recap what had just happened in the story. And it's a funny time.
Nice. Sounds like
Gunfight at the OK Corral. It's great. I'm telling you, man, I've said this whole Indian string, but like, these Bollywood and Tollywood movies are live action anime, and other countries need to like take notice, and we'll talk about that later in the episode. But yeah, that is our review of Sholay. I highly recommend it. If you have 3 hours and 15 minutes, watch RRR, and then if you have it again, then you watch Sholay.
Yeah, I it certainly would not be at the top of my list of recommendations. I mean, like, all the movies we've watched have been pretty good, save the last one. So, if I were to, you know, recommend specifically Indian movies, I'd say start out with S.S. Rajamouli.
Yeah, he's the GOAT. All right, well, let's get into our bonus reviews. Perk, you and I each have a rewatch. I can go first here.
All right.
So, the other night, Joseph's like, hey, I want to watch a movie. And I'm like, sure. And he's like, how about The Departed? I'm like, yeah, I haven't seen The Departed in a hot minute. So we watched that. And, you know, here's what I'll say. I've seen two Scorsese movies. I've seen The Departed and I've seen Casino now. They're both fine. The Departed is fine. I think Matt Damon and Leo are great. And I love the idea of the movie of, like, the two rats against each other. You know, if you don't know, they're in The Departed, there's a rat for the mob and the cops, and there's a rat for the cops and the mob, and they're kind of trying to play a game of cat and mouse. That's all cool and great, and there's really cool set pieces and cool kind of mind games there. I don't know if you've seen it recently, Perk. Do you remember Vera Farmiga's, like, therapist character?
I do.
Written so poorly. This woman is a horrible therapist and has no integrity at all. And I'm just like, Cersei, what were you doing writing this character? Like, she just feels so unrealistic and just like a trophy to be won by either Matt Damon or Leo. And I just really didn't like her in it at all, her character in it at all. And the ending is, like, insane. And which I guess is cool, but I'm also like, what was the point of this movie, you know? So, I don't know. It's fine. I think it's a little bit overrated, but overall, it was an enjoyable watch.
What? Can you elaborate on what was the point of this movie? Like, what's the point of any movie, Jacob?
I don't know. I like when movies have a clear theme. And by the end of this movie, everybody's fucking dead except for Mark Wahlberg. And it's like, I don't like Mark Wahlberg, you know? What am I supposed to take out of this?
I suppose. I disagree. One of my favorites of all time. But that's why opinions are cool.
That's true. And that's another long movie, but it moves pretty well. You don't really feel the runtime on that one, unlike Casino, which I haven't thought about since we watched it.
Yeah, it was too long, and I shouldn't have been the Scorsese movie for you to start with, honestly.
Well, I mean, I'd seen The Departed before Casino, but...
Yeah, okay, fair enough.
Yeah. Anyway, Perk, what did you rewatch this week?
I was sick, really unwell, and it was very unpleasant. So I just wanted some schlock to throw on.
Mm.
And all right, so here's the backstory here. I was just scrolling through all the streaming services, and I saw the Teen Wolf movie.
Okay.
And I watched, like, the first three or four seasons of Teen Wolf in high school, mm-hmm. and that show was awesome. Mm-hmm. It was garbage.
Was it on MTV?
Awesome. Yeah, it was an MTV okay. show. Yeah, terrible, but, like, you know, a bunch of pretty 30-year-olds pretending to be in high school, and it was stupid mm-hmm. and fun. Mm-hmm. And I was like, you know what? It'd be a really good meme if I watched this movie. And so I texted my brother, and I said, Teen Wolf movie, say I won't. He said, bet. And I was about to do it. And then I saw that the runtime was 2 hours and 20 minutes.
Oh, my God. You can't make a Teen Wolf movie that long.
Why do we do this? Why can we not just make short movies, guys? So, yeah, I couldn't stomach it. I just could not be bothered. And then I scrolled a couple more and saw Anchorman. So I was like, yeah, I'll watch Anchorman.
God, I love Anchorman, dude.
Yeah, it's... you know how some people compare, like, great movies to fine wine?
Mm-hmm.
Anchorman is like the pineapple Faygo that I bought at Quick Trip, which I got to on my bike when I was 13.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
That's what watching Anchorman is like. Yeah, I love that movie. It's hilarious top to bottom. It's not especially coherent. But it's just a string of jokes, and they're funny. It's a really funny movie. Yeah. Always good for a rewatch. And that is like a 95-minute movie, which
perfect,
spot on, baby.
What's your opinion of Anchorman 2? Because a lot of people are like, "Oh, it's the same movie, so it's bad." I'm like, "No, it's the same movie, so it's good."
Same movie, so it's good. Yeah, that's the boat I'm in. Yeah, it's longer and it pedals around a little bit more, but I like it a lot. It's just really funny. It's the same style of humor. It's the same cast plus a couple, and the plot just goes so wacky and awesome. And yeah, I really liked Anchorman 2 as well. I can see the detractors. I can see where they're coming from, but I feel like if Anchorman 2 was made for fans of Anchorman.
Yeah.
So if you thought Anchorman 1 was fine, you're not going to like Anchorman 2. If you're one of those goons who grew up quoting Anchorman to everyone you know, yeah, you probably liked Anchorman 2.
Yeah, I agree. I really love both. I mean, Anchorman 1 I think is funnier just because they try to improve on some of the jokes in the second one, which just doesn't really work as well.
Yeah.
But they're both fantastic and I love them. All right, well, Perk, let me talk about a couple other things before we end the show here. Demon Slayer Season 3 just ended this last weekend.
So I've been told.
The most recent arc. And I had a great time with it. It's really hard for me to say if it's good or bad because I read the manga, so I already knew what's going to happen. And I enjoyed this arc in the manga, and I enjoyed it in the anime. And so, yeah, they did a great job adapting it. As always, Ufotable is like their animation is just gorgeous, and they're really kind of one of the top people in the game, especially incorporating 3D animation that doesn't look like shit. So, yeah, really, really stoked with this. They already announced the next season's going to happen, of course. And we're getting close to the end of the series, so I'm getting very excited. But you're going to watch it soon, do you think?
I'm going to watch it as soon as the dub comes out.
Hell yeah. I think it's probably halfway done now. I'm not sure. I haven't checked on it, but
I know it's a, it's not, it shouldn't be too far off.
Yeah. Yeah. Demon Slayer, nothing new here. It's still great. So give it a watch if you haven't gotten to it yet. All right. And I got a couple trailers I need to talk about and get some things off my chest.
Okay. I know one of them, right? It's the live action One Piece.
You're correct. Did you get a chance to look at this?
No, I don't want to.
Fair enough.
Is it going to be bad?
So here's the deal. So for those who don't know, I'm a massive One Piece fan, and Netflix is making a live action One Piece series, which is bold. Cowboy Bebop failed miserably, and I watched one episode of that, and I said nope, and I stopped watching it. The One Piece live action I've been following for a very long time now. I really like all the casting decisions they've made, and it seems like everyone involved with it is trying really, really hard to make it as good as possible and as faithful to the manga as possible. My issue with Cowboy Bebop is they changed the plot to a lot of the episodes, and I'm just like, just do the same plot. The plot was good. You don't need to change it. With One Piece, they're going to try their best to keep it faithful, which I think is good. But I've been really scared about what's the look of the show going to be, you know, because all these kind of live action anime shows have a certain look to them that I don't love. So trailer finally dropped and I watched it, and my hype level is still the same. Nothing I saw worried me where it would like too much that it would go down. Nothing excited me after it would go up. I'm still like, okay, this could be good. The things in the trailer I think they did really well or showed well were like, I think the crew dynamic is there. Like, I really like the main characters. They're interplay off each other and they're back and forth. Like, that feels authentic and it feels fun, and they actually like having a good time. I think the music they used in the trailer was really good. And like I said, I trust the people making this are going to try to make this as good as they can. The things I didn't like as much, the production design, I don't love. They're trying to be as faithful to the manga as possible, but I think that's kind of a detriment because One Piece is an absolutely batshit insane series that, like, is if you're going to pick a manga to make live action, One Piece has got to be one of the hardest ones to do. And that also applies to, like, the CG, because the main character, Luffy, has his body's made of rubber so he can stretch akin to, like, a Mr. Fantastic or something. And I'm like, how's this going to look? Because it's never looked good whenever we've tried to make this into a movie or a show. And it looks, I don't know. It looks fine. I don't particularly love the choreography they showed in the trailer, but hopefully that'll improve in the show. I just worried they're not going to have the budget to show it to its full potential, and it's just not going to be that great. So I'm worried about the CG, and like some of the props just look too like high school play-ish, I guess. So I don't know. I'm still hanging on to hope, and I'm going to watch it all the way. But there's a couple things that worried me a little bit, I guess, after watching the trailer.
Fair enough. I assumed this was going to be first look, it's going to be bad.
Yeah, I mean, it seems like the fan base is mostly positive on it. And I think it's because the crew, like the main characters in the crew, like look good. And that's the most important thing about the show, right? It's like the characters.
Yeah.
So I'm just hoping everything else around it is good enough. We will see. It's coming out August 31st, which was sooner than I expected.
Oh, wow.
Only in a couple months, so I'll keep my Netflix until then, and I'll drop down to the ad-supported tier because Netflix is too goddamn expensive for the stuff they have on that platform.
Just devoid of good IP.
Yeah, and it's $15.50
Jesus.
A month, which is nuts. But the other trailer, I don't know if you saw this. I think it was yesterday that came out, Perk. So fucking Sony. They made Venom. They made Venom 2. They made Morbius. And they're like, we're going to keep going. And so yesterday the trailer for Kraven the Hunter came out, starring Aaron Taylor Johnson.
Who well, I like we love. Aaron Taylor Johnson, yeah.
And I'm like, my beautiful man, why'd you do this project?
Kraven the Hunter?
Uh-huh.
What? That's a guy?
He's a Spidey villain.
Spidey villain? Okay.
All these are Spidey villains, and they're never going to fight Spider-Man because of the MCU and all that stuff. So I just don't know why they keep making these fucking movies. And I just have so many problems with this perk. I mean, it's so hard to make a movie where your protagonist is a quote-unquote villain because you can't make him too villainous or else the audience is going to stop caring. Mm-hmm. But you can't make him a hero because then they're not true to the character. So you're stuck in this limbo where you're trying to make this anti-hero edgy bullshit they do for all these fucking movies. And it's terrible. The fucking, like, literally the tagline for Kraven the Hunter, like, the tagline on the poster is, villains aren't born, they're made.
What?
So they're like, they're doubling down and he's a villain. Exactly. That, so like, oh, he's a villain. But then in the trailer, so apparently, like, his dad, played by Russell Crowe, I don't know how the fuck they got Russell Crowe to be in this movie. He's like a villain who hires people to kill people, whatever. And so Aaron Taylor Johnson's like, our dad brings evil into the world. I take it out. So it's like, is he a hero that just kills people like the Punisher? But then like, no, he's a villain, but also he does good things. But don't forget he's a villain. It's just like, can you pick a fucking lane? Like, it's so bad. And then the other stupid thing perk. So Kraven the Hunter, he's like a grew up in the jungle and he's a master hunter kind of thing, right? And he has, like, superhumanish kind of strength in the comics and stuff that he just kind of gets from working out a lot and being in the jungle. In this fucking trailer perk, he fights a lion, okay? He, like, shoots a lion. The lion starts bleeding. And he has a cut on his chest from the lion. Some of the lion's blood falls into his bloodstream, and then he gets lion powers. And it's just like, what the fuck are you doing? And this is in the trailer.
Maybe it was a radioactive lion.
Dude, it looks so bad. And then also this is the first R-rated one. So you can watch like the Red Band trailer. And the gore, the CG on the gore is so bad, dude. Like there's a shot in the trailer where Kraven like bites a dude's nose off and then spits it at the camera. And there's like blood splatter on the camera. I'm just like, Jesus Christ, man. Like I'm so pissed off that they keep making these movies. And people keep going to see them. And I don't understand why. And it's just, it's so sad.
I hope Aaron Taylor Johnson got the bag.
Me too, man. Me too.
No, it's an unsettling trend, but it's the film studios are no longer trying to make art. They're trying to make product. They're just trying to pump product out so that, you know, consumers keep consuming product. It's why, like, you see all these garbage, like, Netflix original movies with The Rock and Gal Gadot, and you got the Gray on. Was that that was also Netflix, wasn't it?
Well, The Gray was the Liam Neeson movie.
Or no, what am I thinking of? The Gray Man.
The Gray Man. There you go.
Gray Man.
Yeah.
Just like nonsense schlock that might as well have been written by ChatGPT.
Because and, like, honestly, if this was a Netflix movie, I wouldn't be as mad. The fact that it's, like, Sony, it's, like, a Sony production, like, no, this is, like, you need to go to theaters to see Kraven the Hunter. And it's just, like, my hope is, like, okay, Venom, I understand why Venom did well, because people love Venom and has a lot of name recognition, right? Morbius did well because it became a meme, and people went to go see it for the meme. I'm hoping, like, Kraven definitely doesn't have name recognition. They just don't care, and hopefully it won't become a meme. It might, because, like I said, this trailer looks fucking bad.
I think part of it too is Jared Leto brings a lot of meme value.
Yeah, definitely.
So
definitely.
Hopefully just no one sees this movie.
Yeah.
I don't know. Maybe it'll be good. It won't be, but maybe. It won't be.
I can guarantee you this movie will not be good. If it is, I will be shocked.
I didn't think Flash would be good. The people are saying that's good, right?
Yeah, I almost saw it this weekend, but ended up running out of time. I think now I'm just going to wait for it to come on streaming. But
fair.
Yeah, and it's just like Sony just has this delusion that they're gonna bring Tom Holland in to fight all these people
someday,
and it's just not gonna happen. And also, like, I was thinking about this too of like why, because like we saw this with Black Adam as well, where he was like an anti-hero, am I good, am I bad, and the movie tanked. I think the reason I have an issue with this kind of structure for a movie where the villain is a protagonist is like, in my opinion, the best way to develop a villain is the hero learns about them as the audience learns about them, right? like doing all this backstory on the villain before they even encounter like the hero, it just feels like it just doesn't make any sense. And
no, you need a foil.
Yeah.
Like the Joker works so well because Batman's the straight man.
Yeah.
You know, he has that dynamic to play off of, and you're right. Our POV character is Batman. So we, you know, learn about the Joker bits over time. And if it's just, hey, it's me, bad guy. Here's how I got my powers. Or rutro, someone was mean to me one time.
Yep.
It doesn't work.
Because like, what are we going to do when the hero shows up? They have to backtrack and remind the audience, like, oh, did you see my movie? If not, let me remind you how I became a villain. It's like, fucking hell. And they always put, you know, some of them to fight against. And they show at the end of this trailer for Kraven, he's going to fight Rhino, which apparently in this movie is some, like, scrawny scientist that takes a serum and turns his skin, starts turning into Rhino skin, which is not who Rhino is. Rhino is a person in a suit for the most part. So I don't know what the fuck this is about. And it's just like, I'm very upset. I'm very upset about all this.
Yeah. I don't know. The best way we can do it is vote with our wallet.
Yeah, do not go. Do not see it. Yeah. But I agree. I hope.
Make them see that Sony should be dedicating their resources towards their animation studio.
Yeah, 100%. And Uncharted 2. Just kidding.
Aww.
But yeah, I hope Aaron Taylor Johnson got the bag and got out, because, man, big oof on this one. Well, there we go. That is our show for this week. Thank you, everyone, for watching. Next week, we're going to be jumping out of Asia and back to the States for a bit before we dive back. Our connection is tenuous, and I apologize, all right? But we were in 1975 India. I had to do something. So our connection is another movie that came out in 1975, which is Dog Day Afternoon, starring Al Pacino. I never heard of this film before. I just looked it up today, and it looks pretty interesting, so I'm very excited to watch it.
It's been... while not near the top, it's been on my list for a long time, so I'm looking forward to getting a chance to see it.
It's available on HBO Max and Amazon Prime Video. However, we'll probably be off next week because just busy schedule. So it might be 2 weeks till the next episode, but it'll be Dog Day Afternoon on HBO Max and Prime Video. But until then, thanks for listening. Bye.
Bye-bye.